Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, July 18th, 2025. We'll begin today's reading on the front page, where your story lives, as they say. Tuba Tune-Up. Scoville Park's gazebo acoustics help Decatur Municipal Band's Caleb Reed stay sharp. There are two large pictures here. One, the above one, is Caleb Reed practicing the tuba under the gazebo at Scoville Zoo in Decatur on Wednesday, July 9th. "I'm out here almost every day," said Reed, who utilizes the gazebo's acoustics. Reed is a member of the Decatur Municipal Band. The band performs at 6 p.m. Sundays at Fairview Park and at 7 p.m. Mondays at Central Park. It also has performances at 7 p.m. July 23rd and August 13th at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater. And the large picture shows Caleb sitting on a bench with his tuba and a music stand, and you can see the case for his tuba behind him and kind of the roof of the gazebo above him, and a bench behind him. And then there's a close-up of Caleb's fingers on the tuba keys. Mattoon, businesses stay with the flow with the latest regulations. City second round of restrictions. No tap water for drinking, cooking. Mattoon businesses have learned to roll with the punches in recent years. The latest round of water restrictions has challenged restaurants and other businesses reliant on water. But it's important to make lemonade out of lemons, said Austin Keating, owner of Alamo Steakhouse and Saloon, located at 700 Broadway East. "We're in the business of serving people and making their day better. We can't call out on the bad guys. We're just trying to stay with the flow," said Brianna Arena, the daughter of Villa Pizza's owner. City of Mattoon water customers are on their second round restrictions that prevent the use of tap water for drinking and cooking. The first round lasted from July 10th through the 13th and was issued again on Tuesday because of the presence of an algal bloom, neurological toxin, in the water supply. Water samples collected Wednesday by the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency showed the presence of an algal bloom, neurological toxin, at 0.215 parts per billion, a decrease from 0.38 parts per billion in previous testing. The advisory threshold for a do not drink order is 0.3 parts per billion, the city of Mattoon said in a news release issued at 10 p.m. Wednesday. While continued testing was showing some improvement, the city remained under the restrictions Thursday afternoon. The do not drink order will remain in place until the city receives at least two consecutive safe test results, as recommended by IEPA at this point, the city said in the news release. The restaurants have experienced challenges during the past week, but we're surviving, Keating said. According to the managers and owners, the Coles County Health Department is keeping the businesses updated on current conditions. The customers have been supporting their favorite businesses as well, Arena said, which we are very thankful for, she said. Villa Pizza closed during the weekend's first round of restrictions. However, the staff decided to haul water to their restaurant, located at 2100 Broadway Avenue. "We're staying open to make sure everybody's happy and comfortable," Arena said. Mattoon begins water distribution at Williams School during a reissued No Drink Alert. The first round of restrictions was a warm-up for the current conditions, the restaurants said. "Once they lifted that first order, we got everything flushed out and running again," said Andy Pullen, general manager of the original Burger King, 1508 Charleston Avenue, but that didn't last very long. Diners were limited as well after the first order was announced during the weekend. "Some people are wary," Arena said. "With their health, they have to be very careful." According to Pullen, the numbers are going back up. "We're just as busy as we've ever been," he said the day the second restrictions were announced. Restaurants purchased bottles of soda and water, plastic utensils, plates, and cups, but we're finding the demand for eating a steak on a paper plate isn't all that high, Keating said. A few restaurants have chosen to close the dining area, instead providing walk-up and carry-out services. The Airport Steakhouse and Hubert's Downtown Diner have issued statements on their Facebook pages. In light of the present circumstances, our dining area and beverage service, including coffee, will be temporarily unavailable, the Airport Steakhouse posted. The Downtown Diner is offering to-go meals in bulk while this water issue is happening, they stated. We can have these hot and ready for you, or you can pick them up in cold in foil pans and pop them in the oven. The restaurants are avoiding tap water for cleaning. Many sanitize cookware with heated portable water. I've been hand washing the first thing in the morning every day, every piece of cookware, Keating said. Steak knives are the only utensil Keating and the Alamo staff provide for their customers eating steak. A plastic knife isn't going to cut it, he said. Hand washing stations are available for most restaurant staff and customers. Many managers and owners have been traveling to Charleston or to nearby towns to receive water as well as ice, one of the hottest commodities during the restrictions, the restaurant said. The city recently began providing ice along with water to help the restaurants. There's a large opportunity cost here, Keating said, about taking valuable time to retrieve the silver nuggets, and then there's a high cost there, too. Other restaurants were going without ice. We chill the beverages as much as we can, Pullen said. Angela Hampton, founder of the Broadway District Small Business Group, said the effects of the ongoing restrictions on local restaurants and food services has motivated her to organize an effort to provide them with free water, ice, and paper plates and cups. The crisis started to be almost too much to bear for some of the local restaurants, Hampton said, adding that restaurants had not budgeted for needing so much disposable servingware such as paper plates and cups. Hampton said she reached out to KC Summers Auto Group's Keith Summers and Mattoon Community Development and Planning Director Alex Beneshek with this idea, and they helped make it a reality. Local restaurants and food services can arrange to pick up these supplies by contacting the Broadway District via its Facebook page or contacting the Mattoon Chamber of Commerce. Until the community is able to use the water again, we will be out there here, Hampton said. The Mattoon Chamber of Commerce is providing a similar service. A tanker of water has been parked at the Mattoon Area Family YMCA for use by small businesses only, along with access to paper plates and cups. The chamber said on its Facebook page that it was seeking additional water tankers to serve businesses in other areas of the city. Animals also need protection. Mattoon PetSmart, 104 Detro Drive, has closed the pet salon. Sometimes when they're in the tub, the dogs like to drink it, said General Manager Ricky Sousa. But everything else is okay. The fish system runs on a different system, the manager said. We have different water filtration systems, Sousa said. Mattoon and Charleston share several business owners, according to Charleston Chamber of Commerce President Colleen Peterlich. They are doing all the prep work here in Charleston and then delivering it to Mattoon so that they can stay open, she said. Hotels have had customers who would normally stay in Mattoon for the Bagel Fest or class reunions, book rooms in Charleston. They didn't want to stay in Mattoon, Peterlich said. Pullen compared the water restrictions to the pandemic in which businesses had to adjust to the times. We do what we can and hope for the best, he said. As long as we're able to do, we're definitely staying open. And then these are pictures on page two. One shows Amanda Cavazos and Elioa Flickinger, too, drink from cans of soda instead of the usual fountain while eating dinner at Villa Pizza during a do-not-drink order in Mattoon on Wednesday, July 16th. And Elioa Flickinger, too, drinks from a can of soda. It's a separate picture of her sitting at the table. Well, it looks like she's drinking from a styrofoam cup instead of the usual fountain while eating dinner at Villa Pizza during a do-not-drink order in Mattoon on Wednesday, July 16th. And they're in the restaurant with the red and white checkered tablecloths and in the pizza restaurant. And it looks like the 2-year-old has a plate of spaghetti on a paper plate. And on the front page, there's a picture of Jimmy Pendergast serving a drink to Nick Fears in a plastic cup to reduce dishwashing at Villa Pizza during a do-not-drink order in Mattoon on Wednesday, July 16th. Also on the front page, Election 2026, campaign war chests filling up. 5 takeaways from campaign finances. This is from Springfield. When Lee Enterprises reported earlier this month that Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton decided against taking money from corporate political action committees in her run for retiring U.S. Senator Dick Durbin's seat, it was noted that there were caveats. Those were on full display as Stratton and others reported earlier this week how much they raised between April 1st and June 30th. Stratton announced raising nearly $1.1 million while spending $417,286. This left her with $666,416 in cash on hand, though about $185,000 of that can't be used until the general election campaign. To be in compliance with her self-imposed no corporate PAC money pledge, Stratton returned $5,000 contributed from a political action committee representing Marquise Energy, a corporation that operates a North Central Illinois ethanol plant. But as previously been highlighted, there are ways around the pledge. Case in point, 6 executives of the family-run corporation donated Stratton's campaign in their personal capacity. This technically complies with Stratton's pledge, though it is not far-fetched to believe that the executives had the interests of their ethanol plant in mind when giving to her campaign. This is just one observation from second quarter filings with the Federal Elections Commission and Illinois State Board of Elections this week. Here are 4 more interesting fundraising observations from Illinois politics and government. Pritzker's give big to Stratton. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker was quick to endorse his number 2 in the Senate race, and he and his number 2 were quick to follow up with financial support. The billionaire governor and 7 members of his family each donated $7,000 apiece to Stratton's campaign, the maximum allowed under law. In addition to the governor, First Lady M.K. Pritzker, and their adult children, Teddy and Donnie, donated to Stratton. Pritzker's cousin Gigi, John, and Jennifer, and first cousin, once removed, Adam, also gave Stratton the maximum amount, totaling to $56,000. The real question moving forward will be whether Pritzker financially backs a super PAC supporting Stratton. While campaign finance laws placed strict restrictions on how much individuals can contribute directly to candidates, super PACs, which can support candidates and causes but can't directly coordinate with them, can receive and spend unlimited amounts. Before Durbin announced his retirement, Stratton launched her own Level Up PAC, and in May, Illinois Blue PAC was formed to explicitly support her candidacy. In addition to the Pritzker family, Stratton received contributions from Blackhawks owner Danny Wirtz and Bulls and White Sox chairman Jerry Reinsdorf, along with Reinsdorf's son Michael, who runs the Bulls day-to-day. She was also backed by many involved in state government, including Intersect Illinois chairman John Atkinson and several state lawmakers. Krishnamurthy dominates fundraising. Get used to seeing Representative Raja Krishnamurthy's face on television. The Schaumburg Democrat has spent years preparing to run for Durbin's seat, amassing an enormous war chest that has made him an immediate front-runner when he officially launched his campaign in May. Krishnamurthy continued to be the most prolific fundraiser in the Illinois delegation, raising more than $3.1 million last quarter, upping his cash on hand to more than $21.1 million. This puts him at a more than 30-to-1 advantage against Stratton, who had to start from scratch since state and federal campaign accounts are separate. And it places him at a more than 8-to-1 advantage over Representative Robin Kelly of Democrat of Linwood, who is also running for Durbin's seat. Kelly raised $573,831 last quarter and has about $2.45 million in the bank. With this fundraiser advantage, Krista Murthy launched the first television ad of the campaign this week. To give context, the $500,000 buy, which covers a week of ads on broadcast television and streaming platforms, is about the same amount as Stratton has in the bank. Downstate congressional districts. As much as Illinois Republicans would love Representative Darren LaHood, Republican of Peoria, to jump into the race for the open U.S. Senate seat, he is far more likely to run for re-election and continue to climb the leadership ladder in the House. Regardless, LaHood took full advantage of his flirtation with the Senate bid, raising $688,213 last quarter, bringing his total cash on hand to more than $6.23 million. He serves on the powerful House Ways and Means Committee. Representative Nikki Budzinski, Democrat of Springfield, raised $386,480 and has nearly $2.26 million in the bank. Progressive primary challenger Dylan Blaha of Urbana reported having just $2,223 on hand, while Republicans Jeff Wilson and Joshua Lloyd reported $45,543 and $1,185. Dollars respectively. Representative Eric Sorensen, Democrat of East Moline, raised $399,496 and had $544,742 in the bank. I think these figures are making our heads spin. Republican challenger Dylan Vancel raised $44,045 and had $34,233 on hand. Representative Mike Boast, Republican of Murfreesboro, raised $283,598 and has $498,219 on hand. The six-term incumbent won the GOP primary by less than 3,000 votes against former gubernatorial candidate Darren Bailey in 2024. However, it does not appear like Bailey is gearing up for another run. The Louisville Republican reported just 0.18 in his federal campaign account. Representative Mary Miller, Republican of Hinesboro, one of the President Donald Trump's closest elected allies in Illinois, raised $175,096 last quarter and has $704,291 on hand. There are three Democrats vying for taking her on next year, though none have reported more than $1,000 in the bank. Senator Tammy Duckworth, not up for re-election until 2028, raised $1.1 million and has $3.41 million in her campaign war chest. Statewide officials. While Pritzker announced his re-election last month, the self-fundraiser has yet to replenish his campaign account. He reported more than $2.4 million in cash on hand. Expect that to change. DuPage County Sheriff James Mendrick, who announced his candidacy for the Republican gubernatorial nomination earlier this year, raised $81,500 and has $100,588 on hand. While Stratton, focusing on her Senate campaign, reported raising $5,085 in her state account, while spending $84,444, leaving her with $19,014. Secretary of State Alexei Janulius, who is seeking re-election and is often mentioned as a potential challenger to Mayor Brandon Johnson in 2027, raised nearly $1.5 million, leaving $1.05 million, leaving him with nearly $4.69 million on hand. Comptroller Susana Mendoza, who announced earlier this week that she would not seek another term as the state's chief financial officer amid speculation that she's mulling her own Chicago mayoral bid, raised $84,525 and has nearly $1.4 million in her campaign account. Among the Democrats that are considering running for Mendoza's job are State Representative Margaret Croak, Democrat of Chicago, leading with $261,940 on hand, while Lake County Treasurer Holly Kim has $43,909 in the bank. State Senator Karina Villa, a Democrat of West Chicago, has $12,329 in her account. Attorney General Kwame Raoul raised $191,847 and was more than $1.28 million on hand. Treasurer Mike Frericks raised $268,420 and has nearly $1.26 million on hand. Both are seeking re-election. Continuing at local and state news on page A3, tails wag at Bagel Bow Wow. Dog contest entrance adjusts to rain, unsafe water notice. Entrants in the 2025 Bagel Bow Wow dog contest have been adjusting to rainy weather and to Mattoon's ongoing safe water alert. Dog owners went into the contest Wednesday evening knowing that they would not be able to use the water fountains at Peterson Park. Then they had to huddle under the shelter of the Rotary band shell during a rainstorm that struck at the contest scheduled 5:30 p.m. start time. Nevertheless, a dozen entrants waited outside the storm, waited out in the storm and showed off the array of cowboy costumes they selected to go along with the Wild West Bagel Fest theme of this year's festival. Mattoon Bagel Fest is to proceed without the use of city water. I think it went pretty well, said Bagel Bow Wow co-coordinator Brian Gillespie, adding that he was humbled by so many dog owners and spectators turned out despite the challenges that evening. People genuinely enjoy seeing the dogs and their interactions with people and the costumes they wear. Angelina Adams of Mount Zion said she made the trip to Mattoon because she likes to socialize her 2-year-old Siberian Husky, Sylvie, at canine-related events. Adams said she adopted Sylvie 3 months ago from Wishbone Canine Rescue in Normal. It was a lot of fun, Adams said at the Bagel Bow Wow. It seems like a lot of people stuck it out. That showed people really enjoyed the event, she said. What to know about Mattoon's latest unsafe water alert? Adams and her mother, Fiona, said that they've been following the news about the ongoing algae-related unsafe water alert in Mattoon and made sure to bring bottled water for Sylvie. Bagel Fest is proceeding without the use of City of Mattoon tap water this week. The city has provided a water tanker trailer for use by food and drink vendors there and provided hand washing stations that use outsourced water. We're glad that they're still having Bagel Fest, Fiona Adams said, adding that their family regularly attends the free contemporary Christian music concerts there on Thursday evenings. Jim and Angie Fisher's 2.5-year-old son, 2.5-year-old, not son, excuse me, Golden Doodle dog, Ellie, sported a pink cowboy hat and handkerchief as well as a bagel during the contest and was equipped on stage by her owners for hydration. Jim Fisher said that they have a stockpile of bottled water. Well, they have stockpiled bottled water while they can't use tap water. It's an adjustment, obviously, a pain in the butt, but we are adjusting fine to it. Hopefully it won't go on much longer, Fisher said of the unsafe water alert. Landon Furry of Mattoon said he's particular about what his Mastiff Cane Corso, 1-year-old Bella, consumes for her health, so he's already using bottled water before the alert. He noted that the large dog drinks about 2 gallons of water a day. Furry said he dressed Bella in his father's cowboy hat and grandfather's denim vest for the contest while using her raincoat during the storm. Furry said that He enjoyed seeing Bella exhibit her sweet personality with other dogs there, a trait that led him to adopt her at the Coles County Animal Shelter. I knew she was the one because of how gentle she was, Furry said. Brian and Diane Gillespie, now in their second year as Bagel Bow Wow co-organizers, said that they appreciate all of the sponsorship and support from local businesses that make the contest possible. The Gillespies, who own and operate the Doggy Depot Canine Daycare and boarding business in Mattoon, said that they also appreciate the many clients and community members who have brought them bottled water for the depot's use during the no-drink alert. Diane Gillespie said that the canines in their care have been missing their usual summertime wading pool and sprinkler at the Doggy Depot, but have stayed well-watered there. They want us to open so badly, Diane Gillespie said of their clients and the community. Her husband added that it has filled our hearts. And the photos here, a top photo, shows Maverick, the dachshund, dressed up for the Howdy Pot Partner Wild West attire category of the Bagel Bow Wow Dog Contest at Mattoon Bagel Fest on Wednesday, July 16th. And Maverick has on a cowboy hat, a bandana with fringe, and a bandana on his back. He looks very cowboyish, and his owner, who's holding him on her lap, has a bandana around her neck. And the smaller picture shows a crowd gathering for the start of the Bagel Bow Wow Dog Contest at Mattoon Bagel Fest on Wednesday, July 16th. And many people are sitting on bales of hay, and it looks like they're applauding something. Many people are standing, and you see some owners with their dogs on leashes standing around. Cars Are Cruisin' show set for Warrensburg Corn Festival. That's capital R, apostrophe, cruisin'. The Warrensburg Corn Festival will feature a car show, Cars Are Cruisin', organized by Decatur's philanthropic nutritional couple, Vinny and Deborah Barbie. The event will be staged at 3:30 p.m. Saturday, July 19th, on North Main Street in town, and features music, a raffle, and an 8 p.m. light show. Registration begins at 2:30 p.m. Call 217-412-7427 for details. Again, the registration begins at 2:30. Call 217-412-7427 for details. Events like this are used by the Barbies to fund their efforts to feed people in need. They also organize a Christmas toy drive. And that's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, July 18th, 2025. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.